So how is it that love could be a new commandment? How is it that Jesus telling his disciples that they should love one another is anything at all other than the same old story that has been taught for centuries and centuries? You don't have to look very far in the Bible to, for example, come across Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Or Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how is it that Jesus can say to his followers, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another? It's the same old commandment that has been there from the very beginning. It doesn't sound very new. That's why I think that it's particularly brilliant this morning. You know, I don't usually hit on all the readings that we have read, but I think this morning is a particularly brilliant bringing together of two scriptures, John and Acts. Because in Acts, I think what we see is why it is that Jesus' commandment to love one another, which is the same old commandment, is in fact so radically new. Because what you find in Acts chapter 11 is that suddenly the church is beginning, the earliest Christians are beginning to understand, to get a glimpse of, to get a tiny vision of what it is that it actually means to love in the way that Jesus suggested we should love. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. That's supposed to stop you in your tracks right there. The Gentiles had received the word of God. That's not how it works. It's our word. It's for us. It's not for those Gentiles. It belongs to us. We are God's chosen people. We are the Jewish people. We've got the law. We've got the commandments. We got the scriptures. We have the word of God. It doesn't go to other people. It's ours. So what's going on with this? Gentiles had heard the word of God. Even in the earliest Christian church, it didn't make sense. They were conflicted about this because they looked around and they saw people who were beyond the pale, who seemed to be responding to the teaching, the presence, and the witness of Jesus' followers. Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him. You can't do it that way. It doesn't go to those people. It's ours. It's not theirs. And they criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. You joined in fellowship with people who are outside of God's chosen people. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. You see, that's the old vision. That's the old fulfillment of the law to love. It's a commandment in which you look out at the world and you divide it up into profane and unprofane. You say, this is good, that is bad, I do this, I stay away from that. These people are in, those people are out, I go with them, I stay away from them. This food is good, that food is bad. well, maybe that one we should work on a little bit from time to time, but we divide the world up into what we like, what we approve of, what we disapprove of, and what we don't like. That's the vision. And it's a great vision. I mean, it's wonderful. You know, if you can do it, it's a great vision. Stay away from all those bad people. Stay away from all those bad places. Never go to anything that is in any way causes you to be in a compromised situation. What a beautiful vision. You just go for it. See how that works out for you. That's the old vision of love. That's the old version of the commandment to love. But I said, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. The love that Jesus came to embody and demonstrate is a love that is completely unboundaried. It breaks down all distinctions. It crosses all barriers. It is absolutely without distinction. That sheet that was lowered down had everything in it. And it's interesting, isn't it, that he uses animals. We had an animal in the church that we have. There's one that's very well behaved sleeping down here, but the other one was a little bit less well behaved. Does anybody know where that dog came from? Did it just come in the front door? Did any of you bring it? Well, it just came in the front door. Well, that's good. You know what? It's welcome. We embrace stray dogs and stray people and oddness and weirdness. That is the vision. That's the vision of this net being lowered, this sheet being lowered down out of heaven so that everything has its place. However, that is hard work. And I don't know how you're doing with that vision today. Maybe later on today you will find it difficult and you will find someone maybe sitting at your own kitchen table and you kind of go, "Wow, not them today, Lord." Or maybe it'll be someone you pass in the street, or maybe it'll be someone who cuts you off in traffic, or maybe it'll be someone who votes the wrong way in the next election, or who knows what it'll be. And you'll find yourself going, okay, I'll love these ones, but not that person who voted for whoever. I'll let you fill in the blank. This is not a political announcement. So we would be disingenuous and dishonest in the extreme. At least maybe I should only speak for myself. I would be disingenuous and dishonest in the extreme if I didn't acknowledge that at times it's hard for me to love some people. So what am I to do? Well, it's a commandment. I'll just do it. Right? I don't know if any of you are old enough. I am. To remember way back in the dark ages of the 1970s, and a Christian, I don't know, what was he, a folk singer, I guess, Don Francisco. Anybody ever come across Don Francisco? Well, he had a song that he used to sing, and I'm proud to say we've never sung it in this church. I hope. And we're not going to start. And the chorus of the song said this. It said, "Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. You do it. You screw up your determination." And so what we do is we get a picture of what love looks like, right? Okay, we think, well, what does love do? Well, love is patient all the time, right? Well, love is always kind. Love is compassionate. Love cares for the poor. Love says it's sorry. Love is forgiving. Love never gets angry. Love is always sweet and kind. And okay, you go first. And we just determine that we're going to clench our fists and we're going to screw up our determination and we're going to do that. Have you ever been loved by someone who you knew was just doing it from sheer will? Oh, I really love you. I'm not sure you felt like you were loved. And I'm not sure we become more patient, more kind, more compassionate, more caring by screwing up our determination and our will in order that we may be more loving. I think all we do is we become more ashamed and we just feel more guilty. And I just know, and it breaks my heart, that all over the world today where this gospel reading is read from the Gospel of John, there are people who are going to leave church feeling bad because they're not loving enough. And they're going to get this great luminous vision from the preacher of what it means to be loving. And they're going to go away thinking, oh, yeah, I'll try harder. I'll do better in the future. And then they'll shout at somebody and feel horrible and know they're a bad person because they weren't loving enough. So the command love version doesn't really work very well. But you know, it's not just about a commandment. Love is a verb. It's something that does things. And love is a noun. It's a state of being. And you get both in two verses in John's Gospel in the reading from chapter 13. You get both a verb and a noun. The verb tells us that it's a force. Love is a power. Love is the energy that does things. And the noun tells us that love is, in fact, what we are. It's not what we have to become. It's not what we have to do. It's what we have to recognize and see about ourselves. Shannon did a beautiful, if you missed the children's time this morning, Shannon did a beautiful job of it. I kind of got nervous when she quoted the scripture. Like, oh, where's she going to go with this? But she did it beautifully. She understood and she encouraged the children to see that love is just something we have to see out there and see in here and experience in our hearts. Because when we know it within, then it starts to radiate outside of us. And it starts to live through us. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we have to let be done by us. The great 13th century Persian poet Rumi said, "Your task is not to seek love, but to merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." We do that. We resist love. We build barriers against love. It's not that the love isn't there. It's not that there's not enough love. It's not that love runs out. It's that we block it. We hinder. And that's why at the center of every Eucharist, we have the confession. We confess that we have put barriers in the way of love. And we signify by our confession our intention to let those barriers down so that the love may flow, so that the love may work freely through us, so that the power of that love might go out from within us to transform the world. Etty Hillesum, the young Jewish woman, Dutch Jewish woman, who was incarcerated in Auschwitz, where she died at the tender age of 28, wrote on Saturday, the 28th of March in 1942, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of this incredible unleashing of hatred and violence against her and her people and the world, she wrote, "We could fight war and all its excrescences." Is that a word? It is a word. How do you say it? Excrescences. Thank you. That's good. Excrescences. "We could fight war and all its excrescences by releasing each day the love that is shackled inside us and giving it a chance to live." Do you see how different that is from love is an act of your will? Love is a power you surrender yourself to. Love is a power you drop down the barriers to and allow it to work in its unbounded, unhindered energy. That's what's new. That's the new thing that Jesus is bringing. See, in fact, Jesus is the embodiment of the power that makes that commandment possible. Jesus is the embodiment of that power which makes it possible for us to be patient, kind, gentle, respectful of others. Jesus is the power and the energy that enables us to share an unbounded love in which a sheet comes down from heaven and contains everything. But there's a trick here. And the trick is, if we are going to give unbounded love, we have to have an experience within ourselves of unbounded love. And that means that we stop using the old model for ourselves. Most of us have got to the point where we don't want to demonize everybody else, all those bad people out there. Most of us have got to the point, I think, I hope, where we're not willing to divide the world up into categories of good guys and bad guys, those who agree with us and those who disagree with us. But what about towards ourselves? Do we still do that towards ourselves? Do we still look at ourselves and say, this part's good, this part's not so good, this part's not so good, this part's not so good, this part might be okay. This part I really need to get rid of. This part I really need to fix. This part I need to chuck. This part maybe. You know, notice there's more part over here than there is over here. Stop doing that to yourself. The sheet comes down out of heaven. And God says, don't call what I have called good. Remember, start way back in Genesis. You know, you want to read your Bible, go to Genesis. And God looked at all that God had made and it was good, 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 and even very good. Well, except that part of me, you know, that part sucks. No, he doesn't say that. It's good. You are good. Your life is good. Every part of your being is good. Even those parts, even those parts that cause you to stumble or feel like stumbling. Because, you know, stumbling is part of the picture. Stumbling is part of the way we grow. Stumbling is part of the way we become strong. Stumbling is part of the way we become compassionate. Stumbling is part of the path towards love. You don't get there unless you stumble from time to time. Richard Rohr likes to say there are only two paths to enlightenment. Great love and great suffering. And they're actually just one path. Because great love always has great suffering. And great suffering will bring us, if we let it do its work in us, will bring us to great love. So we commit ourselves to the unity of our own being when we come here. We commit ourselves to being those who don't divide ourselves into those parts we find acceptable and those parts we find unacceptable. We commit ourselves to being people who don't do that to the world, but first don't do it to our own lives. We don't reject a part of who we are. We don't reject our shadow side. We know there are dark aspects of our lives, or at least I know there are some to my life, and I know a few of you well enough to know I've seen an occasional shadow in some of you. And you know what? That's okay. It's not a problem for God. It's all love. It's all a way to open more deeply to that power of love that is your true nature as a being created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you need to screw up your determination to achieve. It doesn't require an act of your will, other than the will to let go of that dividing, that separating, that distinguishing between good and bad that has characterized so much of our lives for so long and so often. Jesus' commandment to love is new because it embraces everything. It embraces everyone. It embraces all that we are, all that we bring, all of our frailties and weaknesses and our failings and our faults. It embraces all of that. It's all included. It's all welcome. It's all part of the package. And it's all doing its work on us to enable us to live more fully in that power of love that is the circulating energy of the universe, and that we are invited to join when we come to this table. You come to this table so that you might know that that which you see in bread and wine, you're intended to see Jesus in the bread and the wine, that which you see in the bread and wine, that which you see in this embodiment of the sacred secular unity that is Jesus' vision for life, that which you see externally in that, in fact, lives in you. That when I hold up that piece of bread, that is what you are. You are this embodiment of the presence of love. And we take that inside of ourselves so that we might know deep in our being that we are sacred. There's nothing different between what you see in the Eucharist and what you are as a person. You are a sacred embodiment of the power of love. You are good, good, and very good. Every part of you. Whole thing, no division and without exception. That is the radical message of the gospel. It's the part that got the Christians driven out of the synagogue. It's the part that got Jesus crucified. It's the part for which he died, so that you might know, even in the darkest, most difficult, most abandoned place, my God, why have you forsaken me? That even there, even in that moment of absolute despondency and doubt and despair, it's all held. Nothing is excluded. Nothing is shut out. We are one community of love within ourselves. We are one community of love extending out to the whole world. Live in that love. Don't try to get there. Don't try to exercise your will to become more loving. You'll fail. Just open, let the barriers down, and receive the gift of the power and energy of Christ's love living in your being. Amen.